What is going on with Kate Middleton?
Which cult is popping off right now?
What the hell is a trad wife?
And why are we so obsessed with them?
I'm Jody Walker.
And I'm Chelsea Stark Jones.
And we're obsessed.
Obsessed with all the pop culture happenings, filling our group chats and For You pages.
And we want to talk about them with you.
Our new show, We're Obsessed, is for all the things we're loving, buying, watching, listening to, and spiraling over right now.
Follow the Ringer Dish feed on Spotify to listen to We're Obsessed every Friday.
This episode of The Town is brought to you by FX's The Bear, starring Jeremy Allen White, Ayo Edebiri, and Eben Moss Backrack. Season 2 follows as the crew work to transform their grimy sandwich joint into a next-level spot. It turns out the only thing harder than running a restaurant is opening a new one. Television Academy members can watch all episodes at fxnetworks.com/FYC.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
It is Wednesday, April 24th. You go to a party or a movie premiere these days in Hollywood, and one question invariably comes up. What do you think is going to happen to Paramount? It's such a common question because nobody knows the answer, not even the people at the center of the deal making. I talked to a lot of them, and it kind of changes by the day. A new twist, a new bidder, complicated financial and legal maneuvering, a lot of leaks to the press. The latest, if you haven't been following, Sherry Redstone has a family holding company called National Amusements. And National Amusements is the controlling shareholder of Paramount Global. That's the parent company of the movie studio, CBS, a bunch of cable channels that Craig has never watched, Paramount Plus, and Pluto TV. Sherry, via National Amusements, owns 77% of the Paramount Global voting stock. That's Class A shares, but only about 20% of its overall stock. So she controls the company, but her decisions impact a lot of Class B shareholders who don't really have a say in what she's doing, but are impacted. An odd dynamic and a recipe for lawsuits, definitely. She can thank her dead father for that setup. The lawsuits actually did happen 5 years ago when Sherry decided to combine CBS and Viacom into one $30 billion company, Paramount Global, which is now worth a lot less than it was back then. Given all the problems with the economics and streaming, it makes sense that Sherry is trying to get out and get out now. And she's currently in exclusive negotiations to sell National Amusements for $2 billion to a group fronted by David Ellison, who runs Skydance Media, a film and TV production company. And David is the son of Larry Ellison, one of the richest men in the world and the owner of one of the Hawaiian Islands. That's how rich he is. The idea is that once Ellison gets control of National Amusements, a separate agreement will be in place to merge Skydance and Paramount in an all-stock transaction that values Skydance at $5 billion. Great for Ellison and for his private equity partners at KKR and Redbird Capital. Great for Sherry because she gets the big ticket deal that will pay her family. Not necessarily so great for the Class B shareholders. They would essentially stand by as the Redstones are swapped out with the Ellisons. Those shareholders would very much like a payday. And there's another bid, this one a $26 billion bid from the private equity firm Apollo to buy Paramount outright. That's just an offer right now. Sherry doesn't like that bid for reasons we will discuss. So Sherry's in a 30-day exclusive negotiating window with Ellison. But then last week, I hope you're following along, the Times reported that Sony Pictures is considering joining the Apollo bid. Sony would shore up some of the concerns about Apollo and raise other concerns that we will discuss as well. This past week, I know this is a lot, my Puck colleague Bill Cohan wrote a couple pieces outlining how these two different bids are taking shape, what might make sense and what doesn't make sense. Bill's a finance guy, so he's a little more hot on the Apollo bid than the Ellison bid, which I tend to favor. So today we're going to debate the wild fight for control of Paramount. Who's got the upper hand in taking over this legendary studio and what the next steps might be? From The Ringer and Puck, I'm Matt Bellany, and this is The Town. All right, we are here with William Cohan, who is an author. He is a former investment banker, and he is my colleague at Puck, where he writes about the financial world, and he's been writing a lot about the Paramount situation. First of all, welcome, Bill.
Hey, thank you, Matt. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's get into this because you have some takes, I have some takes, but I want to first do a little explainer here about the Sony Apollo bid, because there's been a lot of media attention on David Ellison. He's a little bit of a sexier suitor for these assets. He's 41 years old, son of a billionaire, centibillionaire, 10th richest man in the world, last time I checked. And the other side has not gotten as much attention. But we had a development last week where Sony Pictures is now talking about partnering with Apollo, one of the biggest private equity firms in the country, about making a bid together for these assets. Now, why would Apollo want Sony, and why would Sony want to get involved at this stage?
There's several aspects to it. Obviously, if Sony is involved, and don't forget, Legendary Pictures is also part of the Apollo world.
Right. Apollo backs Legendary, which is a production finance company that is behind Godzilla vs. Kong, the Dune movies. Its deal for output of movies is with Sony Pictures now.
Right. And Apollo owns a, they haven't disclosed, but a meaningful minority stake that gives them lots of governance rights. So they basically, you know, are suggesting that they control that too, and that it's a very important part of this deal. So it'd be Legendary, Apollo, and Sony. And of course, the Apollo guys know the head of Sony, so there's a relationship there.
Tony Vinciquerra, the head of Sony, has a relationship with the Apollo guys. That's true.
And so what does it do? It, first of all, brings capital, it brings distribution, it brings Hollywood might, and it brings what looks like, oh, guess what? A strategic buyer to the table, just like, oh, you know, the Ellisons are trying to make it look like they're a strategic buyer.
Well, they are not. They would be replacing the Redstones as owner of the parent company and then merging Skydance with Paramount. That is not a strategic buyer, because Skydance obviously is very small. The Journal reported last week that its EBITDA for 2023 was only $25 million. Not a lot. Now, obviously, that was strike impaired. But even in a best case scenario, they are a fraction of the size of a Paramount Global, and even a fraction of the size of the Paramount Studio. Sony Pictures, on the other hand, is much more of a peer of Paramount, even though Sony does not own the broadcast assets that Paramount does, like CBS and the cable networks.
Yeah. So the Sony Legendary Apollo partnership looks like a real strategic buyer. And I'm sure that between the capital and the distribution and the production and all of that, it looks like a real sort of strategic offer, not a merger, because clearly they'd be selling the company, as opposed to the Ellison, Skydance, KKR, Redbird deal, which is very creative, very interesting, but much more sort of financial engineering. And of course, has, I think, a major Achilles heel attached to it. Both deals have Achilles heels.
Yeah, neither bid here is perfect.
The Apollo deal has an Achilles heel, as attractive as it is for all shareholders, which is very, very important here.
Yeah.
Sherry can just kill it. If she doesn't like it, she can just say no, because she controls 77% of the voting shares of Paramount. And my sense is she doesn't like it, and she is going to say no.
Well, she doesn't like it for the reasons that we've discussed previously on the show. It's not great for the legacy of her family. She sees Apollo as carving up the company and selling off the assets. She likes the Ellisons in the sense that they seem like a better steward of the properties for her. There are other reasons why. And as a controlling shareholder, isn't that what you pay for? When you buy Paramount Class B stock, don't you buy it knowing there is a controlling shareholder that can essentially do with it what she pleases with limits?
You'd better be buying in with that knowledge, and not only the Class B, but also the Class A, which is economic shareholder. In other words, if you're buying into this mess, you're buying into Sherry Redstone.
Exactly. But then what are they complaining about? Because shareholder after shareholder keeps coming forward, you know, crapping all over the Ellison deal, saying it's not great for me. I'm a shareholder. This is self-dealing. I'm going to sue. And I want to say to these people, where have you been the past two decades? Sumner Redstone was basically like out of it with dementia for a long time. His girlfriends were pulling the strings on him like a puppet. And these shareholders weren't saying anything then. Now, because there's a deal on the table that could potentially take them out at a lower price than what Sherry gets, they are going nuts over it?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Matt. That's exactly right.
But they could sue, and they are threatening to sue, is the point.
And they could sue, but I'm told that Sherry is completely, you know, likely to win that.
Yeah, for the reasons I just said.
Right, exactly. So that's the problem with the Apollo deal. She can just say no, and they can sue. Anybody can bring a lawsuit, but they're unlikely to win, and she's likely to win, and so they can just say no.
Well, the other problem with the Apollo bid is that Sony is a foreign-owned company. It's a Japanese company, and the rules of broadcast television is you cannot own a broadcast network if you are a foreign company, so they would have to sell CBS.
No, not necessarily sell it. They could set up some sort of NewCo and drop those assets into it and have Apollo be the majority owner of that NewCo.
By the way, we don't know where all of Apollo's money comes from either.
Oh, well,
look, you know, I don't know that we want to know.
Where does every private equities firms or, you know, now they're called alternative asset management. Look, I'm not worried about Apollo running afoul of the foreign ownership rules, but they're going to have to be creative in terms of putting CBS and the TV affiliates, or maybe Sony puts up more capital but has fewer voting rights.
Do you think that hurdle is surmountable?
Look, I don't claim to be, an expert, but I'm told that they don't think it's a hurdle. Now, just because they don't think it's a hurdle, does that mean it's not? No, it means that it could very well still be.
I mean, Legendary also has a Chinese owner. I mean, it's owned by Wanda, and Apollo is a backer, and we don't know the exact breakdown there, but presumably, if Legendary was involved in this deal, they would have to buy out Wanda as well.
Well, again, a lot of financial engineering and structuring has to occur. And guess what? Apollo is, this is what they're expert at. It's right up their alley. They've got plenty of capital. They understand the debt indentures. They understand that they can assume this debt. They don't have to refinance it. So a lot of things need to be worked out. But in terms of just, you know, what would prevent a rash of shareholder lawsuits and anger from like the likes of Mario Gabelli, who's the number two owner of the B shares, is of course the Apollo Sony deal. But Sherry, as we were just talking about, for all those reasons, can do whatever the hell she wants. And she likes, of course, the Ellison deal. Why? Because it buys out her family's holding company, National Amusements, at 160% profit, 160% premium to where the stock is trading now. So she's going to get $2 billion for something that's worth like $750 at the moment. And so that's what she prefers. And the problem, of course, is that all the other shareholders would get nothing. They'd get a PowerPoint presentation. And they would get, you know, we're going to take Sherry out. We're going to become the majority voting shareholder here. We're going to have Paramount then buy a Skydance for $5 billion or something like that. And Paramount is still going to be a publicly traded company that we're going to control. And we're going to do X, Y, and Z things. We're going to bring in a new management team. We're going to, you know, maybe shut down Paramount Plus or merge it with Peacock. Or we're going to do 10 different things. And we're going to, what's now a $10 stock will be a $30 or $40 stock. So stick with us. It'll all work out better for you in the end. Much better than the Apollo deal, which you're selling. You're perfecting your deal at whatever it is, $15 a share, and that's going to be the end of it. If you stick with us, we're going to get you $30 to $40 a share.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You seem to be skeptical of that arrangement, but looking at this long term, wouldn't you want to be in business with fresh blood, new money, the 10th richest man in the world, management in, you know, the Jeff Shell scenario, Jeff Zucker, where they are at Redbird Capital right now, and they would come in and they are experienced media managers. Jeff ran NBC Universal. Obviously, Zucker also ran NBC Universal and then CNN. And you've got momentum and a plan, and you're not controlled by the daughter of a legacy media manager who, frankly, managed the company so poorly that it got itself into this situation in the first place. Wouldn't you rather bet on this new group?
Well, that's the crux of it, Matt. One is compensation, consideration, certainty. With the Apollo, you know you're going to get whatever it is, $15, $16, $17, $18 a share. They're going to assume, and that's it. You're out. You're gone.
Their plan is to go private.
Yeah, they'll take it private. Mm-hmm. And then do whatever it is they're going to do with it. You're out. You get your $18 a share. It's worth 10 now or 12 now. You're going to get your 18. That's it. You perfect that game, right? You perfect it. And that's going to be certain, assuming it can get approved by all the regulators and blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's not a blah, blah, blah. That is
a pretty
significant issue here, because, and this is something that I've railed against. I mean, we saw what happened with Disney and Fox when Disney bought most of Fox. That eliminated a buyer for Hollywood content. The 20th Century Fox studio essentially went away, becoming a small label at Disney. And it's a contraction in the industry. We are now down to 5 legacy Hollywood studios. If this deal happens with Apollo and Sony, we would potentially and likely be down to 4. Sony and Paramount have incredible synergies. I mean, the banking side must love this because it is a match made in heaven. You just combine the film studios, you combine the television studios, you either spin off or include the television networks in some new company, and then you fire everybody and you sell off the lot for a significant premium. And then it becomes 4 legacy studios up against the streamers, and Paramount essentially goes bye-bye. Not great for Hollywood talent. And increasingly, the FTC and the Department of Justice have been looking at these types of mergers, which are not supposed to trigger very much antitrust scrutiny, but they have been looking closely at the impact on the market for the creative work when they're looking at a deal. And that's what really was a problem in the Simon & Schuster sale, the book consolidation deal. They didn't look at the impact on consumers. They looked at the impact for authors and, you know, creative people that would have one fewer buyer for their work. And I'm looking at this from a Hollywood perspective, and a Sony Paramount deal is kind of a disaster.
And, you know, you juxtapose that, which was very articulate, very insightful.
But
no, with the view of the financial community that it can be structured in such a way to, you know, reduce Sony's ownership of the assets that would become problematic. I mean, is the DOJ/Lina Khan going to look at this? I think for all the reasons you said, I don't think it's as big a slam dunk as they may think it is.
Yeah. And who knows what a Trump administration would look at this stuff as. I mean, this is the current administration, which could change in November.
Right. So for the reasons you articulated, I think that deal could be very problematic. But if you look at it from the shareholder perspective of all the shareholders of Paramount Global, A and B classes, then there's no question that a bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush. And that's what you're dealing with here. Now, having said that, there is a special committee of the board that has rightly been created, advised by Blair Efron and Cravath, and these are very smart people.
The big law firm, yeah.
They know what they have to do here. They are the same team that represented this going private with our friends at Endeavor and Silver Lake. So they are current, they are Hollywood, they understand what's going on, but they are on the horns of a dilemma. Do you take the $30 to $40 a share potential that's in a PowerPoint presentation versus the $17 or $18 a share that is on the table now, which can be rejected by Sherry with one fell swoop without an explanation. It's really, really difficult situation. And a third option is also possible here, Matt, and that is rejecting both of them and doing nothing and returning to the status quo.
Right. That's the argument that I think is the best argument for why the Sony Apollo deal makes sense.
Right.
Because doing nothing is really not an option, I don't think.
No. It'll tank the stock. But the only thing propping that stock up now is a potential deal, as weird as they are.
Right. And you could make the argument, if you want, that the combination of Sony and Paramount, while distasteful and bad for creative people, is kind of necessary. We need consolidation, as Bob Iger likes to say. Paramount is not equipped for the next generation of the media business. It just isn't. It's got a subscale streaming service. It's got a movie studio that doesn't have the capital to do the $200, $300 million movies that you need to compete. Its television business is cratering faster than people thought. And it just doesn't have the wherewithal to compete. So it needs to go away.
And it's going to go away. If it doesn't do this deal and it doesn't do the other deal and it stays on its own, what is now a $26 billion company or $24 billion company enterprise value will be half that soon. The debt load of $14 billion has already been downgraded into junk territory by one credit agency. It's going to get further downgraded if one of these deals doesn't happen. And we're talking about, you know, it could be a potential wipeout. So Sherry can't allow that to happen. She can't go that route. Okay. So the question is, can the difference in the valuations be narrowed between the potential of $30 to $40 a share and what Apollo / Sony is offering to get Sherry to come to her senses, bite the bullet, and do that deal?
Yeah, I just look at what the plans would be for the company and the Apollo playbook. This would be like them owning newspapers, which they do. It would be like them owning television stations, which they do. It would be carve it up, milk it, fire as many people as you can. Don't look for the future. Look for the squeeze right now. And the Ellison bid, at least if you believe what they are saying, they may change their tune once the deal closes. But Ellison actually likes the business. He's already in this business. He would take over the studio lot as a combined Paramount Skydance. They would run it as a Hollywood movie studio. Apollo would not. Apollo would look for the highest bidder for each of the assets.
Well, that's because they have a movie studio. They have Sony.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. In terms of what is best for the overall long-term health of the creative community, I just think the Apollo
versus what is best for the overall financial health of investors and creditors.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
What you're having to weigh here.
No, but right, but it's not binary here. The Ellison bid actually long term could end up being better if their plan actually works.
Right, and it could also, Matt, end up being worse. I'm old enough to remember these so-called recapitalizations that were all the rage, I don't know how many years ago now, because I can't remember, 20 plus years ago, where they all promised on the PowerPoint $30 to $40 stocks, and the stocks went to zero, and the company went bankrupt because it had too much debt, because you know, the recap didn't work. Now, to their credit, they're talking about a serious deleveraging, not a releveraging. So they're going to pay off, you know, X amount, maybe $5 billion worth of Paramount debt, which is a good first step. They're going to cut out costs, $3 billion worth. The Ellison bid. They're going to bring in a whole new management team, which is desperately needed.
Oh, the Bob Backish slander on this podcast. You don't think he's worth $31 million a year?
$31 million, he deserves to be slandered. You know, what has he done to earn that money?
He makes the same as Bob Iger. It's amazing.
It's absurd. Okay, so I really admire kind of the creativity and the thought process and what the Redbird guys are thinking about doing here. But if I were Blair Efron representing the special committee, that is a horns of a dilemma. Because do you take the PowerPoint 30 to 40 promise? And if you're wrong, oh my God, you'll be just ruining the day. Or do you take the bird in the hand, which is the $16 or $17 or $18 a share? That's a nice premium, a big healthy premium. No one can complain about that. And at that point, who cares what happens?
Except the one person who matters doesn't want it. Now, do you think that's the reason why four of these board members are leaving the board? That was announced last month.
The fact that Nicole Seligman and Robert Klieger left this board at this moment is stunning to me. Both of them very close to Sherry and will do anything for Sherry. The fact that they're both leaving the board now is insane.
But we don't know why. Everyone's speculating that this was a protest move, that they don't like the potential deal.
I don't think it's a protest move. I think they see what's coming and there are going to be lawsuits and they're trying to insulate themselves a little bit. I mean, obviously it's too late and they have D&O insurance, but I think it's not a protest move. I think it's like, Jesus, so we see what's coming here. We got to get out of here.
All right. So what happens here? Give me your odds on who gets this deal. Do you think, given all we know right now, Ellison or Apollo?
I think it's going to have to be Apollo.
Interesting. I think Ellison gets it. I think 10th richest man in the world wins.
But the 10th richest man isn't involved here.
He's a backstop here. I think that whatever money they need to make this happen will end up happening.
And if the stock of the publicly traded stub starts trading down, you think he's going to start buying stock? And maybe they'll take it private at that point.
Maybe. Or they got a three-year plan and they say, okay, son, here you go. You wanted this? You got it. Let's see what you do with it.
Okay. And then what happens if instead of going to 30 to 40, it goes to two? Then what? Is Larry coming in to buy the company?
They start giving private tours of the island of Lanai to raise some money. I don't know. My point is, it doesn't matter to him. His son wants to do this. He has an heir. He is in his late 70s. He will enable his son to do this.
If I'm Blair Efron at Centerview, and that's the pitch, unless I see something in writing from Larry Ellison, that is not worth bupkis.
Okay. We will see. They're in negotiations right now. So the beauty of this is we will see what happens. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
We are back with the call sheet. Craig, are you excited about Challengers this weekend?
I am. I actually have tickets already for this Sunday.
Oh, that's very proactive about you. Why have you decided to do that? Is this your lovely wife wants to see it as well?
We both want to see it, yes, but lately I've been waiting to the last second to go see a movie. And to be honest, in Century City, which is kind of the local theater for me, a lot of the seats are booked up in advance. Yeah, so I have to kind of act accordingly.
Yeah, that's true. Good for you. This is an interesting one because it's the first sort of Zendaya star power gauge. She got paid $10 million for this movie, which I reported a couple years ago, right when they greenlit it. And the overall budget is about $50 million, which is high for a drama that doesn't have action or IP attached. But they're betting on her. The tracking is 15, which I think is a little low. I think they would have liked this to be tracking a little bit higher. But I'm going to take the over based on exactly what you said. I think young people are going to show up for this one.
I feel like this year is a big test to see if stars are back, if stars are finally starting to once again like control the demand now in the box office rather than IP. We had Timmy with Wonka, I feel like brought a lot of people to theaters, Timmy and Zendaya in Dune.
Okay, but those are both IP-driven movies. But I get what you're saying. It's old. It was not primarily that.
If Dune starred Florence Pugh and Mike Feist, it's not succeeding like it did.
You don't think so? You don't think it gets to $700 million without Zendaya and Chalamet?
Absolutely not. And look, we have Gosling and Blunt and The Fall Guy coming up, and there's not a lot of Marvel movies. I just wonder, if this movie hits, I wonder if stars, if this new crop of stars will kind of now be box office drivers.
Wow. Craig's declared it. Stars are back.
Stars are back. I think this is the year of the star. We're back.
Yeah. Honestly, the $50 million budget on this is high. I mean, they need to do $100 million worldwide, at least, probably $150 million. And we'll see if they get there. I'll take the over.
Tennis? International sport?
Yeah, it was supposed to come out in September and premiere at the Venice Film Festival. Remember that? Which would have given it a big platform. But Zendaya's been doing a ton of press. She's been doing, you know, red carpets all over the world. Amazon is treating this like a bigger movie than maybe it is. But good for them. You know, the theaters need it. It's in IMAX. If you want to see Zendaya really big up close, you can see her.
Anecdotally, I've heard it's great.
Oh, you have?
Yes, from people around the office who have seen the movie, I've heard it's great.
Oh, okay. Well, you got to give us a full report on Monday. I probably won't see it this weekend because it doesn't star any animated characters or giant pandas. So I probably will not be seeing it this weekend. But you
got to get your son into tennis. Get him lessons.
I know. It might be a little racy for him. I don't think he needs to see Three Ways just yet. But that's the show for today. I want to thank our guest, Bill Cohan, producer Craig Horlbeck, our editor, Jesse Lopez. And I want to thank you. We will see you one more time this week.